Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are on season 2, episode 4 of The Crown, called Beryl.
Beryl, yeah.
It took me a minute to remember which episode this was, but as soon as I remembered it, I was like, oh, it's the Margaret episode.
Yeah, I know, it's funny because when we watched this originally, I think you really loved Vanessa Kirby so much.
No, I do love Vanessa Kirby so much, and that has not changed. However, yeah. Some of these episodes.
Yeah. Well, you start to get a sense that, we're going to talk about it. Let me put it this way.
Self-destruction and stuff like that is not fun to watch for me.
No. And of course, now that we've seen all the way through, you have a better sense of where this was going as a character arc. So I'm pretty sure you didn't know that much about
Vanessa Kirby. I absolutely did not. I didn't know she was even a person. So.
Okay.
Well, I might have heard of her, but I never really thought about her having this big of a role.
Right. No, I get it now. As far as that goes, we do have our usual caveats, disclaimers, and whatever those include, there will be cursing. There will, as there already have been, be spoilers.
Well, we haven't really spoiled that much.
No, but I mean, yeah. Self-destruction, yeah.
That's not new for Margaret, though.
Yeah, okay.
Get used to it.
Yeah, if you don't know anything about Margaret, you're going to learn some shit. Mm. The cursing, and we are also having things to drink. I'm continuing my semi-dry January, and so I'm having ginger ale with a sprig of mint, and it's actually kind of nice.
It doesn't really add much.
It's good. But the great thing about ginger ale is you can pretty much do anything you want with it.
True.
So there you go. What are you having?
Water.
Because
I just wanted water.
Because part
of my New Year's resolution, which I did not talk to you about, is I want to stay more hydrated.
That's a good idea.
Water.
That's a good idea. I am
cheers, and sorry about the ASMR that you don't want. I like ice in my water.
Yeah, it's a thing. And that's fine.
I like ice in about everything.
So. Sure. True. So, this would be season 2, episode 4, Beryl. Is there a synopsis for this?
There is. And it is, when Elizabeth and Philip throw a grand party for their 10th anniversary, both Margaret and the new prime minister experience romantic tribulations. More Margaret than the prime minister.
Yeah, you see a little bit, but whatever.
I really don't care about Qyburn and his stupid...
Yeah, Qyburn could be on a wreck somewhere the mountain, like, torturing him.
I think my problem... at least we got to know Anthony Eden before he became prime minister. And that's... And Qyburn coming in so late and me not caring about Anthony Eden at all as well, it didn't really help. Yeah. But especially
Qyburn... I had forgotten them. You know, like,
I forgot he was even a prime minister. I was just like,
Okay,
yeah, I remember him vaguely being in this. But then I was just like, this is a great actor. Like, why... Or, like, a bigger actor than, like, some of the other guys. Why is he just a small role? I'm like, oh, no, he's a prime minister in this. But I'm like, I don't remember any of this, and nor do I care to.
Yeah, so, it really is. It's kind of sad.
Yeah,
We start with Margaret as a guest at a wedding in the country.
And someone is also riding a motorcycle.
Right, but and I always love this. They did this a little bit in the Philip and Elizabeth wedding, too. They do this part of... the Anglican wedding ceremony where they talk about people get married not just for carnal lusts. I mean, they always go through that.
Yeah, I think they did that in Bridgerton as well, just to really drive it home with that Rena and Anthony. It's just kind of like, no, you are not suited for each other. You guys need
to be having some carnal lust in there. So, yeah. Not just for that, but you need some.
But yeah, they really just add that so that a character can react. Interesting
you point that out, because again, part of what happens in this episode is that Margaret does not have some carnal lust for some people, so
it's kind of weird the way they do this, but we'll talk about that in a second. So basically, the guy on the motorcycle is a photographer, and he's late, and then he takes pictures of everyone, including Margaret, and is kind of sassy about it.
Right, but he rides up on his motorcycle. There's a song in the background, Princess.
Yeah.
And, of course, the guy on the motorcycle is
Henry Talbot.
From Downton Abbey.
See, this is just going to be an ongoing thing where, like, we've seen these British actors because of the conservation of British actors in all these other TV shows, and we know their names from those TV shows and don't remember them from this. So,
Tony.
I was very funny, but I did the problem. Okay, I did say I was like, it's Tony.
And you're thinking Tony Gilliam, but you were wrong.
I was right though, in a way. I was very
Tony Gilliam in Nightfall. Though.
No, okay, here's what I did. I was, sorry for yelling, but we were just sitting there, and then I knew it was going to be the guy who played Henry Talbot in Downton Abbey, and even when I first watched this, I was like, oh my god, he's here. Of course he is. Everyone's here. And then I see him, and I'm just like, Tony! It's Tony!
It is Tony! And I'm like, that's the role he's
in. No, and then it took me, I took a second, and I'm just like, wait, no, it's not Tony. It's not Tony Gilliam. And I was just like, oh no, you were about to look it up, and I was just like, no, it's Henry! It's Henry Talbot! And I'm like, okay, I got it. And then they say his name's actually Tony in this show, so I'm like, I was kind of right.
In a very fucked up
way. I was right. Anyway.
That was kind of bad effort. Sorry.
Anyway.
All right. So.
But no, Henry. Sorry. Tony. Shit. Okay. We haven't even drunk anything.
No.
I'm just on the high of, like, me knowing the name. But, so he is taking pictures, and he, like, sassily takes an extra picture of Margaret when he looks at him.
She's glaring over her shoulder at him, too.
Yeah, he just is kind of like, snap. And then he just kind of walks away.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who is a professional photographer, usually you see them not doing necessarily a full Cecil Beaton series
no.
here, but you usually see them being a little more careful with the shots that they take.
And I mean, not so just, they're like, not haphazard. Blurry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then we go back to my favorite photographer, Cecil, who is taking pictures for the wedding, just the wedding party, very briefly. I don't know why they showed it, but I kind of liked that. And then I was like, oh my god, it's him! And that was very brief. But then Margaret is at the reception talking to Billy Wallace, who she's just met.
Right,
but, okay.
She's kind of flirting with him because, you know, she's more
talking about how she feels alone and no one really wants to take her on. And Billy says that he could try. And she just kind of, the family does like Billy and he likes Margaret. And so he tries to kiss her, but she
there's no carnal lust here.
She kind of pulls away and he does stop. So I'm like, good for you. You did stop when she tried to pull away. So.
But she kind of accepts it too.
She kind of does for a second.
Amazing, and she's so beautiful, but it's like,
there are great looks for Margaret.
Yeah, but, oh my god, the clothes. And of course, Vanessa Kirby is just gorgeous.
Well,
so,
yeah. And then we go over to Elizabeth and Philip, who are in bed, and they talk about how Elizabeth basically was like, oh yeah, my mom says that after about 10 years of marriage, then you hit your stride, and how there's usually a really big fight around this time, but then you hit your stride after that. So we should throw a wedding anniversary party. And then Margaret calls Elizabeth to talk about the wedding that she went to and how she kind of agreed to marry Billy Wallace.
You can see Margaret's just, like, staring off, like, do I really want to do this? It's almost like she's calling Elizabeth, like, talk me out of this.
Yeah, she more is asking
be
for that.
Be my sister. Tell me something.
But Elizabeth doesn't really catch on to that part of it because she can't read minds. And so she's just...
Philip's over here and it's like, Billy Wallace, oh my god.
No, Elizabeth, she, like, mouths out, it's Margaret, to Philip. And he's like, okay, whatever. And as Elizabeth's talking, she's like, oh, congratulations. And then she looks at Philip and she mouths Billy Wallace and he's just like, oh, Christ.
Yeah. It's like, no.
Basically, Elizabeth wants Margaret to use the anniversary dinner to announce the engagement, which I think is really sweet. It's a nice idea. It's the next day, and everyone's getting excited about the satellite. Well, not really excited.
The Russians
have sent a satellite into orbit.
And Qyburn.
Yeah, Qyburn's just, like, talking over Elizabeth the entire time Elizabeth's trying to talk about it, and he's just like, oh, this is really clearly a sign of attack or something. And Philip's just interested in the space travel stuff because he's a fly guy.
It's a science thing for him, I think, too, on some level.
And just, like, a sense of adventure. And this does come up later.
Yeah, it does. Because he's interested in space.
Hey,
definitely.
We can add that to the five things they talk about with Philip. Six. Space.
Space!
Anyway, the final frontier. McMillan keeps cutting Elizabeth off, and everyone's annoyed by him, including his wife.
I love Elizabeth's line.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
And so he keeps cutting her off and keeps cutting her off and keeps cutting her off, and she's like, they say listening is important.
In any marriage.
But she doesn't even say in any marriage. She just says... She does say
in any marriage.
They say listening is important in any marriage, I guess. And Cameron's wife is kind of like, whatever. But Philip goes...
He just starts laughing. Like, and McMillan doesn't say anything. He just smokes his pipe. And then you see in the car, McMillan is having marriage troubles with his wife, and his wife is
apparently
going to...
Apparently it had been for a long
30
time.
30 years.
Oh my god.
We find out later it's 30 years. But basically his wife is planning on he's driving to her lover's house to spend like a day or two with him, and she's like, "I'm ending it for real this time." And I'm like, "Okay."
And yeah. He's like, and first of all, don't make promises you can't keep.
If you need more than an hour to do that, then yeah, she's not gonna freaking break off the affair. That's not gonna happen. And then
they could do a quickie.
She's staying there for like 2 days.
And it's ridiculous.
I'm like, what do you think is happening? Like,
of course he knows. He doesn't believe they've really broken it off.
Well, no, but he just kind of accepts it. And I'm just like,
well, okay. And she's like, no, I really need to.
Well, now that you're the prime minister. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yes,
anyway,
awful.
Then Margaret is taking her birthday portrait. Cecil is the photographer. I love him. And Margaret's lady's maid,
new lady. Yeah.
She is doing a fairy tale inspired photo shoot, because all of them are fairy tale inspired for Margaret, because she's a princess and all that stuff. And Margaret's new lady's maid comes up, and because Margaret asked her opinion on it, and the lady's maid says that the portrait should change with the subject and be more mature and all that stuff. But, and then the queen mother just says, no one wants complexity and reality from us. Sit down. Cecil, I don't know if you got any quotes from this, but...
Oh my gosh,
All right, go ahead.
So Cecil... is talking about how, this is all about the fantasy. Imagine the commoners who are lifted from their pitiful reality. And he gives this whole lengthy description of some common woman.
I wrote some of this down.
Oh, go ahead.
Basically, he tells this story about a miserable woman seeing Margaret's picture in the magazine and trying on a new neckerchief and being saved from her common life because of the picture and trying a new...
And saved by you.
It's just so fucking... It's so stupid. And I feel like the Queen Mother is buying into this
shit. She is, for sure.
It's so bizarre.
It's hilarious. It is so funny.
And this kind of conversation is carried on to the next episode, but it's so funny to me that they just think they're doing such a good thing.
I do love that line from the Queen Mother. It's like, no one wants the complexity from us. Sit down.
I love that.
No, it sounds polite, but it's such a put down.
Like, no, she wasn't even trying to be polite. No. She's just like, sit down. Don't even talk about this.
Right.
But then we go over to a random party where Billy Wallace... women are like swarming him, which is unusual for Billy.
Apparently.
Which I don't really see why. I mean, he's cute.
He's cute.
And he seems to have good station.
Right, but he's probably pretty boring.
Yeah, I guess he must be boring. Then you see like Margaret's friend like talking about, oh my gosh, this is not usual. This is unusual with like Billy being surrounded by women, and he seems to be having a good time. And then we go over to Margaret, who's getting ready for the engagement party, and...
Oh my god, she looks so amazing.
She looks
amazing.
Fantastic.
Oh, that dress. I want that
dress. The blue dress. Oh my god, it's beautiful.
It's got this gorgeous train with feathers. It's just beautiful.
She looks fantastic.
Yes.
And basically she hears that Billy is not going to be at the engagement party. Not engagement party. It's the anniversary party where they're going to announce their engagement. Billy has been injured, and apparently he was injured in a duel.
Right.
You see this, Margaret goes over to Billy's apartment or house or whatever, and she asks him what the hell happened, and you basically see a little bit of a flashback as he's telling the story from his point of view, like as a more of a heroic figure, but then you see him being a pussy.
Yeah.
He's basically like, oh yeah, well, as a gentleman, of course, because Margaret's friend, who you saw in the at the party sequence, challenged him to the duel because he was messing around with one of the girls who was hanging around him all the time.
Right, which basically the friend was defending Margaret's honor.
Which is very sweet of him.
Yeah.
You never hear
it's
about...
It's a bit much, but
It is a bit much. It's an Antony thing, but it... Well, no, it's
not
even close to that.
No, it's not even close to an Antony thing.
Anything. Anyway, like, I think it was just because of Duel. But...
I just want to kick his ass because he's annoying me.
I think that it's interesting that that's never brought up again and she never talks to that guy about
it,
ever.
It's bizarre.
Like, we don't even know his name.
Right,
he just kind
like,
of...
Random dude at party.
Yeah, Margaret's friend at party. But you see, like, flash flashbacks as he's like, as a gentleman, of course, I, like, accepted gracefully. And you see him in the flashback being pulled by his, like, friends. Like,
physically dragged. Yeah, to
and him,
side.
Like, crying and be like, I don't want to do it. Don't do it. And
he's a total coward. And yeah. Then he's like, oh, and then he shot me. And I
well,
got
no,
this.
No. He also is like, has a bottle of whiskey right before he takes the 10 paces. Yeah. And yeah. He's just like, we were a little bit drunk, but we were okay. And he just is like drinking.
Yeah, he's like totally
like guzzling.
And so, yeah, Billy is like, he's just like, oh, he shot at me. I got this flesh wound to my leg. And yeah, it's just a flesh wound. It's like, oh, God, please.
But also, he actually admits that the girl's vying for his affection has gone to his head. Like,
yeah.
he mentions that. And I'm like, so you are aware of this, but you're not going to do anything about it?
Yeah, and so it's obvious this guy, and he does get a name, it's Tennant, which I wrote down.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking David Tennant, huh? Interesting. But, hey, that would be the reference to two Doctor Who's in the same show. But I love Margaret's response. She's like, you don't get to insult me. You get to be eternally grateful to me. And we're done. I mean,
she also calls marrying him an act of charity.
Yes.
And she also gets a few digs at him, like, about, like, yeah. You look at this look on my face, the disgust and disappointment.
Yes.
This is the next 40 years of your life with
every
any
woman
who's going to be with you.
Yeah.
And then she leaves and ends the engagement.
Yeah.
Then Elizabeth is told at the dinner that they won't announce anything, and she's just like, I guess I'll hear about this later. And Phillip's
right, but you can tell everyone's a little kind of like, ooh, something happened.
No, she knows something happened. And Phillip gives a toast about how the key to a successful marriage is having different interests, not too different. And
I love this speech. I wrote down some stuff.
Okay.
So the speech that he gives, he's like, the thing about marriage is you get to see the whole of the other person,
mm-hmm.
including the things they don't see about themselves.
You tend to know your partner better than yourself.
Right, and you have to come to an accommodation. You take the rough with the smooth, but it's in the rough where you find the treasure.
I think it's also interesting. Actually, the way he words it is you make a deal. And I think the phrasing of that is very specific to them as
right.
a couple. Like,
right.
they had to make that whole deal about making concessions.
Right, but in the rough is where you find the treasure,
mm-hmm.
and this is, you know, this is where you test your character, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on and he says, in the name of love and country and steadfastness, this next 10 years of our lives, blah, 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 whatever.
Margaret's crying.
And Margaret's crying, and it's so sweet, and clearly Elizabeth is, you know, moved by it.
Something interesting that my dad pointed out, this is why it's great to have him.
Have an extra person, sure.
Well, an extra person who's not taking notes, who's like able
right.
to like look at the screen the entire time.
Yeah.
But he notices that Porchy is seated next to Margaret.
Yeah.
Who's right next to Elizabeth. So
yeah.
I'm like, okay, so Porchy's here and they just didn't mention it. It's kind of funny.
Well, I mean, yeah, Porchy's not...
He's
a side
yeah,
character.
It's funny that he's just treated as an extra and not, like, mentioned at all. It's just
yeah.
kind of funny.
Yeah. So Margaret leaves. She's crying, whatever. She goes back to her house and she is then blasting Angel Eyes by Ella Fitzgerald.
Well, also, I wrote this down and I will explain it. Note I wrote down is Margaret listens to records loudly and cries in parentheses just like you. So the reason I said just like you is not like you, Mom. It's not you.
Thanks,
I'm just
I
saying,
that.
Like, look at this audience. She does this too. It's one of those
she's
things.
She's one of you.
Yeah, it's one of those things with Margaret. It's kind of a
her poor pathetic life. She might buy a handkerchief.
You need a new handkerchief.
You like everything better. You're gonna
don't
save
worry
yourself.
About it. Anyway, but I think that it's interesting because they do this a lot with Margaret, and I see a lot of it with, like, Eloise and Penelope and Bridgerton, that they're really trying to make her an audience insert and make you feel a lot of empathy for her
yeah.
and make her the modern person, which
but they
she,
do that with
which,
Philip, too.
They
yeah.
do that, too, with him, too, but it's more with Margaret that you see the emotional part of it. With
yeah.
Philip, it's more just, like, he has radical ideas about, like, the future and stuff, and... As modern
the monarchy,
people,
yeah.
Yeah, as modern people, we already know about this. But
yeah.
it's interesting because they try to do this with Margaret by having her... And this is a great scene for Vanessa Kirby's acting. She's fantastic. But
yeah.
it's just kind of like, you did this in your room, too, when you're upset. And it's just like, yeah, we do. But she has a record
she's
player.
Breaking shit.
Well, no, we don't break shit. Well, I don't. But
I don't either, because I can't afford to replace everything I own.
That's true. I can't either. So it's just... I don't know. It's interesting how they do this, and she's, yeah. like, I don't know, she's just having kind of a fit, but you see her go through all, like, the stages of grief in one night. She's drunk, she's angry, she's sad, she's alone, she's
yeah.
trying to accept it, but she's having difficulty, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But so, it's over an engagement that she really wasn't into, and she understands how sad that is.
Right. I mean, I think that patheticness, like, yeah. this is the best engagement I could come up with, and it's still shit.
Yeah.
You know, and that, you can see being tormented by that.
Absolutely.
So we cut to a very brief thing with Qyburn.
I just wrote down, I don't care about Mr. McMillan.
Right. Well, but he's hearing this radio thing talking about Eisenhower praising, you know, the reunification of interests with England, which is what Qyburn's thing with the Soviets was. Like, we need to repair our relationship with the U.S., and we can do it through, you know, fighting this satellite space race stuff. And so Eisenhower's praising that. He's like, yay, yay, yay. And Qyburn's like, I must share this with somebody. He goes looking for his wife, and his wife is on the phone with her lover.
And she's like, she basically...
I can't let him touch me.
He says that she says that he repels and disgusts her.
Wait, who else did we hear that about? Oh, yeah, Billy Wallace.
Yeah, but I'm just kind of... I don't care about Qyburn, but no one deserves to hear that. Okay,
this is about to sound like...
some people do. But it's just... it's
Yeah, somebody like Mike.
But I think the thing is, not me either, but that's not the point. The point is... it's weird that they never tried to establish their relationship apart from the affair.
Yeah.
They didn't show any, like, kind of strain other than her just kind of being, like, sighing to herself in the background of the conversation that was one-sided with the queen and all that stuff. But it's just, you haven't seen them really interact other than in the car on the way to go to her lover. And yeah. it's weird that they didn't... That
yeah, why is this such a big plot point other than to juxtapose it with Margaret?
So, yeah, it's not that big.
Right, it really isn't. So then we have the Queen Mother doing what mothers do, and yes, I do this too. She walks in and she, like, pulls the curtains back and, oh, good morning! Like, you know, she's, like, doing all the things. I brought you the proofs of your birthday portrait, and she's just chattering on and on about, like, new guys that she could hook up with.
Apparently, Billy and his family have been calling her, but Margaret wants nothing to do with him, and she's like, okay, well, we can forget about him.
There's this guy, but she always points out their negatives, like, well, you know, his mother was Catholic, but,
fought in battle at
for the Luftwaffe. He's a Nazi, but okay.
But it's okay. But we can look past it, and it's just like, oh my god.
It's so funny, because, you know, Margaret's response to that after she gets her mom out of her house, is the, like, she talks to one of her friends.
No, it's the lady's maid.
Oh, the lady's maid. She gets invited to a party. With normal people. And she's like, none of them need to breed horses, own land, or know my mother.
Yeah. Those are my requirements.
Yep.
And then a photographer guy, not Cecil, comes over to Margaret
that would be
at the party. Basically, Margaret goes to the party, and she feels a little bit left out because nobody's really, like, giving her much attention. Like, she kind of wanted that, but at the same time, it's awkward because it's a room of people you don't know and aren't really feeling comfortable talking to you.
Well, and it's a boho crowd. They are very egalitarian. They don't give a fuck about your rank, girlfriend.
Yeah, I know. And photographer guy Tony comes over Margaret.
Do you see where she's sitting there? She's sitting and, like, everybody's kind of lounging, whatever, and she's sitting bolt upright with this perfect posture. Like, everyone else is kind of, like, slouching and whatever, and she's just like,
this is how I am.
The princess. Yeah, this is how I am.
And then, he basically tells her about the guests and is just kind of, like, telling the gossip about each person. And it's like, oh yeah, these people have an affair. Or
the first people he points out, though, are a couple that come up later. It is the guy in the mustard turtleneck and his wife, and they are swingers, and we see them swinging later in the season.
Oh, yeah, later in the season.
Yeah.
But why did you say that? Swingers, like that?
You know, because it's sexually swinging.
Yeah, I know.
So then,
anyway,
she's to swing.
He reveals himself to her as the photographer from the wedding, and he shows her some of his work. She likes it. He's interested, basically, in what people hide, and he likes catching people off guard. So
he makes it sound like he's hunting. There's this intrusion, yeah, this intimacy, and you know, he kind of like hunts down their true character kind of thing is the yeah way he makes it out. And you know, he's like, I want to do a session, but I think you really want to be a supplicant.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all this S&M bonding, sexuality, yeah, tension, blah, blah, blah stuff. And she had been convinced very early on, or she was convinced early on, that he was gay.
Yeah. She was like, oh, he's definitely queer. but yeah, she does ask him to take photos of her, and he requires her to leave the title at the door and do as he says. And she's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Margaret then and Elizabeth then have lunch, and she tells her about Tony, and his full name is Tony Armstrong Jones.
Yep.
Margaret thinks Tony is only like Cecil, the other photographer, because she thinks he's queer.
Yeah.
And she actually likes the contempt he holds for her and her station.
Right.
Which, interesting.
Yeah.
She goes to the studio, and it's a bit weird and avant-garde the way he does the photo shoot. Like, she's just sitting down, she, like, is ready, she's prepared with, like, the basic pose and stuff, and she already has, like, a setup with the camera, a normal camera. And he just, like, goes upstairs and leaves her alone and kind of lets her...
He bangs around. I mean, he's,
yeah,
like, it's almost, like deliberately throwing her around.
Yeah.
Throwing her off.
He's throwing her off, letting, like, kind of letting her relax for a second,
making
but also,
her
like...
uncomfortable, yeah.
Yeah, just... letting her, putting up her guard, but at the same time letting it down a little bit,
yeah,
on and off. It's weird.
Yeah.
And then
he comes back downstairs, he takes off his shoes,
yeah,
and
he just uses his small camera anyway, so it doesn't,
yeah,
even matter that there's a big camera there,
right? And then he tells her he doesn't want her to smile because she smiles, and he's like,
it's
don't
beautiful
smile like that. And
but
she,
no.
Yeah. And he says it, you know, it's clear you don't know yourself.
And he knows it's a lot to ask to reveal anything about herself, because that's not what she was taught.
And she's like, well, I've only done these things with Cecil. And he's like, Cecil's a disgrace.
And I was like, yeah, not Cecil. I like Cecil.
Oh, no.
He's so funny.
Yeah,
he's ridiculous, but he's funny.
Yeah. And he asks Margaret, she's like, well, this is what we do. It's how we do it. It's what my family has always done is use Cecil. And he's like, well, why do you care about your family?
What have, like, they done for you?
Well, but they're, because
they're
are
my family.
And then they start talking about
Peter. And she gets a
and
little bit
And he's like,
defensive.
Well, he's a bit boring, isn't he? You know, kind of, you know, yeah, and that's what he says.
Yeah, no, I
and
know.
And she gets defensive of him.
Yeah, and he gets the camera close to her and pulls her sleeves down so it makes her seem like she's naked,
mm-hmm,
given how, like, close up he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks her if she misses Peter, and she says, sometimes, and then he gets the final picture.
Right, which is apparently perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go upstairs to his apartment.
And he seems to have a lot of friends who are, who he's taken pictures of. One of them is the Prime Minister's daughter, and there's a rumor that she is the illegitimate daughter of the Prime Minister's wife and her lover. And apparently the affair has been going on for 30 years, quote-unquote, under his nose.
Yeah.
I don't think it's been under his nose, but I think initially it might have been, but,
yeah,
he
but
definitely
now
isn't now.
Yeah.
Which is so sad. It's sad to think about the fact that this has been going on for 30 years,
yeah,
and that his daughter, who... we never met the daughter.
But she's
clearly
an adult, though.
Yeah, she's an adult, and so it's kind of... It's weird that he was put in the position where he was in this unhappy marriage that she was in. It's just sad that, like,
yeah,
he's not really even a part of this marriage at all.
Yeah. So then he has...
and the
Tony.
Fact that, okay, also, sorry, the fact that it's been going on for 30 years and he thought she was going to spend 2 days and just end it is ridiculous.
Yeah,
sorry, go
insane.
Ahead.
All right, so Tony has this giant glass... wall, I guess.
It's a mirror.
The mirror that people sign with a diamond. I have a diamond just for that purpose. It's like, okay, how pretentious are you? And, you know, they sign with pseudonyms. And so Margaret signs
as Beryl.
He's like, oh, it rhymes with peril.
And I'm like, okay.
Okay, whatever.
So artsy.
And
then
they go downstairs to his dark room
to develop the pictures.
Right.
And she does confess that she thought that he was queer,
yeah,
because of how he understood women and,
yeah,
all that stuff.
Yeah, and the picture is apparently very revealing.
Well, it's revealing. It's a Margaret. He says it's a Margaret that no one's ever seen before, and she agrees.
And you haven't even seen her. She,
yeah,
right. And so She asked for it to be sent to a specific place, which we later find out what that is. And then he's like, hey, aren't you going to stay? You know, like, let's have at it kind of thing. And she's like, no, no. And he's like, well, my driver. And he's like, do you have a driver outside? And she's like, yeah, well, they can follow us. And he puts her on the motorcycle.
Yeah, and it's cute, but at the same time, I feel awful for that driver.
Right.
But he has to follow her, and also they try to lose him, and I'm like, right, dude.
They then have this whole series intercut of Margaret on the motorcycle with Tony, intercut with
Elizabeth and Philip
doing their, like, you know, normal cold.
There's, like, an ambassador or something.
Yeah, like, they're saying goodbye to the Malaysian ambassador in this really kind of boring, sedentary kind of scene.
It's exactly the Fish Called Wanda
scene. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like, yeah, we are totally Fish Called Wanda here because, like, you have the boring, you know, toenail clipping kind of
separate
thing.
Bed.
Yeah, it's like, and then you have, oh, exciting, on a motorcycle. You know, that whole thing. So it's very funny.
And then, they escort an ambassador out after a long dinner. Margaret gets home and plays a record.
I only have eyes for you.
And is happy, and she feels free, I guess. And then you see Elizabeth and Philip's nightly routine, and compared to Margaret being really happy and infatuated with the photographer. Mm-hmm. And again, I wrote down in parentheses a lot, like that Fish Called Wanda scene.
Yes.
Then you also see Tony develop more pictures of Margaret, and things are kind of awkward between Philip and Elizabeth, because it's still, they're in separate beds and all that stuff, but that's always kind of been true. I mean, sometimes you go over and he would go over, but
right.
It's still...
Red Rover.
Kind of. Yeah. But it's, even though they had this whole anniversary dinner, and it was nice, it was cute, and they've kind of gotten used to their routine a little bit more, you still see a little bit of tension there.
Yeah.
And a little bit of remoteness from both of them, really. Yeah. Like, she's reading a book or something and then looks over at him and he's just kind of staring at the wall or staring at her or something, and he's just kind of sitting there and she's just like, all right, good night. And that's kind of that. But Margaret's seemingly naked portrait is published instead of her scheduled one.
Right.
And you see how everyone reacts to it, including David and Wallace. Why are they here?
Oh, my. Yeah.
Then Tommy.
Scandalous.
I love that you see Tommy's reaction, too. It's kind of funny. And then you see Cecil react to it. And then the Queen Mother and Philip and Elizabeth. Philip's just kind of laughing.
Yeah, well, and then Philip's kind of like, oh, my.
Yeah.
And so that's really kind of
great.
Mm-hmm. So what was your best part?
I had a couple. I had the gossip at the party is kind of funny, like him just talking about how these random people and their lives, and then the flashback to the duel is really funny to me, like him narrating this heroic journey thing, and then you have him, like, juxtaposed against him actually being such a wimp. And then Philip's toast I really like, and Cecil and his whole, like, painting a picture of the humdrum life of commoners and them getting a new neckerchief because they saw a picture of Margaret. It's just so funny to me.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
What about you?
My best parts are a little bit more general, although the one specific being Philip's toast or speech to Elizabeth on the 10th anniversary, which I find very sweet. It's also Vanessa Kirby and Matthew Good.
That's
performances.
Yeah.
Henry Teller, whatever. Their performances, I think, are really great. I should
have added Vanessa Kirby's performance. I think it's great.
Right, but Matthew Good seems to play the same guy over and over, so I'm not really sure.
Well, I think he's better in... He plays a different... I mean, it's a similar kind of character, but at the same time, at least he's nice.
Downton Abbey. That's true.
I'm rooting for him in Downton Abbey.
That's true. And this time, we're kind of like...
He's a dick.
There are definite
he's
issues.
He's more artsy.
He's so handsome. It's like, okay, maybe we'll forgive him.
I won't, but still.
But yeah, but Vanessa Kirby, this is a tough role to play, and I think she does really, really well with it. And of course, she's unbelievably gorgeous, so, you know, there you go. So, what was your worst part?
I only had one, oddly enough, the long photography session. I think it's the length. I think that you seeing the entire process, I mean, I understand why they did it like that, but it goes on for so long, and
it makes you uncomfortable.
It does its job, but I don't like feeling uncomfortable. So I didn't, I think especially like them going into the dark room as well and all that stuff, and I'm just kind of like, okay. And also, I did notice at the end of the episode, you see, I'm going to keep calling him Henry for some reason, but Tony, he is in his dark room, and when he's developing the rest of the pictures of Margaret, I almost said Vanessa Kirby, but
yes.
he lights a cigarette in his dark room, and I'm like, there's so many chemicals in there, you're going to light the place on fire.
Well, he also stopped Margaret from smoking in the dark room, so it's like fucking duh, dude.
It's so stupid, but yeah, I think it's a long photography session.
They're trying to create sexual tension, is what it is.
But they spend most of the time,
each other?
Yeah, outside of the him up. I think the longest part that I don't feel very necessary is him stomping. Yeah. I think they could have done like a little bit of that and then just moved on, but I think that them just taking so long with that part of it in particular is kind of boring.
I think that that's intended to be like, this is what's intriguing to her.
Oh, I'm sorry. I almost forgot. The Prime Minister and his wife.
I forgot to include that too.
Because I hate them.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Okay, especially his wife. The wife in particular.
Yeah, she's dreadful. So the worst parts for me were Margaret's overall whininess. It's like, oh my God, you have such first world problems.
Yes, but another thing about the Prime Minister and his wife, why are they still married? This has gone on for 30 years. That can't be much longer than their marriage.
I get the sense.
Or much shorter than their marriage, anyway.
I get the sense, and I may be wrong about this, there is this pervasive theme out in the world that, you know, politicians either cheat on each other or, you know, cheat on their spouses, that kind of thing. And like, it's accepted, like, it's a normal thing.
That shouldn't be.
No, exactly. And there's this sense, like, you watch, and it's supposed to be scandalous, but I guess it's like, oh, well, everybody does it kind of thing. And it's sickening to me. I don't like it either. So, yeah, I agree with you. That definitely should have been in my worst parts, but wasn't.
You can add it now.
I can add it now. So there we go. How did you grade this?
Did you already say your worst parts?
Margaret's whininess.
Oh, that's the only thing?
I mean, just the overwhelmingness of it. Like, she is really, like, such a fucking baby. It's like, you...
Like, she didn't have to marry Billy Wallace. She didn't have to, like, put herself through that. She really didn't.
Right, because she... You know, think about what that marriage would have been. She knew going in that she'd be so bored. Shit. Yes.
No,
it's terrible.
I gave it a B. I originally was going to do a B+, but I think B is appropriate for me because it's so much of, like, Margaret's stuff is fine. It goes on a little bit long, like, some of the awkward scenes go on a bit long, but the addition of the Prime Minister and his wife trying to, like, do a parallel with them is kind of weird because we haven't...
We haven't established
them at all as people, and I didn't even know he had a wife until this episode. So, I mean, I guess I should have assumed, but I don't want to assume anything like that.
Well, I mean, the Prime Minister's wives have become characters in this show, which I find interesting.
Auntie Eden's wife was just there. She was on the plane with him half the time, but never got a line.
Right. I mean, are they important to this show? No. And so
I think Winston's wife was like just a voice of reason, and I think that kind of
that was a character development thing.
Yeah, she was
too.
A character,
right? So... But this, you know, do we need this as character development for this character? I don't know that we do.
And you're only doing character development in that you're making her unlikable.
Yeah, well, and,
unlikable to certain people anyway. But
but also like I don't think it moves the Margaret plot forward at all. I just don't think it's necessary in any way.
It absolutely
doesn't. Whatever.
But I do like that. But I kind of wish they went more the route of the parallel between Philip and Elizabeth's relationship with each other and this new like thing. They do it briefly at the end, but I think they could have gone a little bit further with that instead of doing the Prime Minister and his wife.
Right. So do more with the Margaret.
Because a lot of this season is supposed to be focused on Philip and Elizabeth's relationship. Well, at least the first couple episodes were.
Yeah.
But then they kind of dropped that off, and then they're just kind of like, let's throw an anniversary party and forget about all the bullshit that just happened. But
okay.
I don't know. I think that could have been a better opportunity than the Prime Minister and his wife.
Yeah, I can certainly see that. So how'd you grade this? You said B. Yeah, I had it as a B+. I think it's B just because there are definitely other episodes that I dislike more, but I can see this being a B as well, but that might make me grade a couple of others a little more lowly. Just saying. So that is to come.
Yes.
But we are still, and despite the fact that this was not my favorite episode, it is beautiful to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
But, like, the darkroom stuff is really cool to watch as well.
Oh, yeah. And Margaret's dress, even. Oh, my God.
Her outfits in this episode are great.
Yeah, they are.
Even her, like, little outfit that she was wearing to...
the photography session?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's well done. So, yeah, I do think that this is a series well worth watching still.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll get to the point where we think it's... Well, no, okay, we'll still
watch
it.
It may jump the shark at some point, but has not happened yet.
Sorry. I don't think anyone's going to hear that or understand it, and that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, so we will come back soon with our next episode, which will be on season 2, episode 5, called Marionettes. And we hope that you tune in, you join us, and
cheers.